This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Fall has officially arrived, and for many of Louisiana's high school football teams, so has district play. District rivalries will be renewed for some squads, while others will play one last tune-up game before getting into league competition. For some others, this week presents another chance to challenge themselves by playing teams from a bigger class in hopes of making themselves playoff ready. It's week four of the 2024 high school football season. We'll preview all of this week's big matchups next on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. It's hard to believe it's already week four of the high school football season in Louisiana. District play beginning in earnest for some teams, others playing those final preseason matchups. This is the week four edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. Thank you for joining us this week at WWL.com. Coming up a little bit later in the program, we'll have an interview with San Augustine head coach Robert Valdez in his first season with the Purple Knights. They're now 2-1. We'll also take a look at what's going on in the New Orleans metro as well as the other parts of the state. We'll start in the Monroe area. Gene Ponte of the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show joins us. And Gene, last week, West Monroe picked up an impressive win over North DeSoto. They ran away with the blowout victory. This week, the Rebels will seek another big win against a Catholic of Baton Rouge squad that beat St. Thomas More last week in Lafayette. What does West Monroe have to do to pick up their second straight victory?
Well, I'll tell you, Ian, the laundry list is probably long of the things they have to do. The first thing I think West Monroe did well this past week is that they won a football game they had to win. You know, 2 weeks ago, they gave up 67 points, scored 47 up in Little Rock against a very good team up there, Pulaski Academy. But they knew they were going over to North DeSoto, number two ranked team in 4A. Man, they came to play, I'll be honest with you, and they mixed the run and the pass. Ryder Dejean finally found some success up top. He threw for three touchdowns, ran for another one. They had over 433 yards of total offense in just the first half. The Miles kid, I think, ran for three more. The Rebels won it 63-14 off of North DeSoto. So you're right. They have a lot to work on getting ready for a Catholic school, Catholic high team that made West Monroe their homecoming game. So, you know, that's important to them, too. But it tells you about the strength of the Bears' schedule. They're a great football team, and the Rebels know it.
You mentioned that this is the homecoming game for Catholic, and it makes me wonder, if you're West Monroe, do you take that as an insult, or do you look at that as saying, all right, we're on a strong slate here. They had to make somebody homecoming. Why not us?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I did have a coach at West Monroe tell me this morning he thinks it's been over 20 years since any school has made West Monroe their homecoming game. So whether or not they take that personally, at the end of the day, you got to get out there and play four quarters of good football, and that's what they're going to have to do. I think, like I said, West Monroe mixed the run and the pass up a little bit better this week. It certainly gave some schools something to look at as it relates to the long ball. But, man, look, they're a Veer football team, and they're going to get in that eye and just try to do stuff up the middle.
Ruston on the road again. They're back in Texas. At this point, the Ruston squad should just buy a condo out in Texas and stay there for the first few weeks of the season. They play at Midland this week, going all the way to Arlington to play this game. This is going to be the old Texas Rangers facility, huh?
Yeah, and it comes on the heels of a very impressive 21-10 win over Longview. And anybody that follows high school football knows how good the Lobos are. Jordan Anding had a couple of interceptions in that ball game. But they play Midland on Saturday this week. And then they go back to Texas next week. So anyway, a busy schedule for the Bearcats, but I have not seen anybody that is coming close to slowing these Cats down. And it ought to be a great football game this weekend.
We talk about loading schedules, and it seems as if teams from North Louisiana are playing out-of-state teams more and more frequently. For Ruston, they usually have one team, maybe two on a schedule from the Texas area, but I can't recall the last time any team from the state of Louisiana played three out-of-state games before getting into district.
No, and the same applies for West Monroe, having to go all the way to Little Rock to get a game and over to North DeSoto, which was a 2.5-hour drive. The Neville Tigers had Holmes County, Mississippi in here this past week. I think they have St. Thomas More this Friday, if I'm not mistaken. But, boy, the Neville Tigers look good, too. I think they're in the top five, top six in 5A ball. They won 34-31 over a team, 34-33, excuse me, over a team that has been to state championship games. I think they were 13-1 a year ago, so that was a great ball game for them. Holmes County went for two at the end of the ball game and was denied, and that was the difference in that thing. But, man, you're right. A lot of schools won't play the big boys around here, so they got to go off and find them.
Which, going back to scheduling a West Monroe for homecoming for Catholic, I guess that's a feather in the cap for a lot of these schools that they have to go out of state to play, to find that competition, because nobody here wants to play them. Or in the case of West Monroe, that Catholic is scheduling them because, A, they want the challenge, but it just so happens to fall on the homecoming week.
Well, yeah, I think you're right about that, too. And, you know, when West Monroe's played the Zacharies before, all these schools want to play better football teams, one for the power points, as you know, when it comes down to the postseason, and two, it hopefully makes them a better football team when they start getting in the district. But, man, when you're looking at Ruston and Ouachita and West Monroe and Neville and Ash, Alexandria is kicking Fanny every Friday night. Man, that's one of the toughest districts, if not the toughest district in the state right now. And Ouachita proved that they won 45-8 over a good Sterlington team last week. I'm telling you, it's very impressive to see.
You mentioned Neville. They do have St. Thomas More this week. STM looking to bounce back from their loss to Catholic of Baton Rouge last Friday. Franklin Parish, another team that was impressive or has been impressive over the course of the season, they get Caldwell Parish this week.
Yeah, and that will be a break from playing Calvary. You know, they won that ball game over on Friday night, 32-28. Coach Burnett told me, man, 4 or 5 months ago, that game has been circled on their schedule. They think it was one of the biggest teams to ever come into Franklin Parish. Ellis, boy, had a great night for them. Quarterback, he ran for a couple of touchdowns. I think he had 168 yards. One was a 99-yarder. Threw for two more touchdowns, so the kid can play. And obviously, they beat a very good football team on Friday night. But, you know, we've got some good football going on right now. We're loving keeping up with it every week. I know, I think Franklin Parish, yeah, well, you mentioned that one. Wasserman plays Iowa, so there's another team that's playing a South Louisiana team this week. Good football, man. Week four. Hard to believe we're there already.
Yeah, it is hard to believe we're at week four, almost at the halfway mark of the season. But you mentioned the good football that we're seeing out of Northeast Louisiana, the teams from that part of the state. I'm trying to think of the last time that we saw a schedules this tough for those teams in that part of the state, but also at the same time, the level of success that these schools are having against that strength of schedule.
Hey, and look, St. Fred's is a little small Catholic school, single-A squad here in Monroe. They beat Gina this past week. That was a Gina team that went to the semifinals in AAA football a year ago, and many people think they're good enough to go back there again. But they had three field goals tonight. Harper Joyner kicked one with 1 second left on the clock to win that ball game. I think it was 13-12 or 15-14. But, man, they're a good football team. They go to Bastrop this week, so they're playing up to, heck, all the way to playing a 4A squad this coming week. So they're not afraid of anybody, and they believe in what we just said. Playing tougher teams makes you better.
It certainly does, and the teams in North Louisiana, Northeast Louisiana particularly, living proof of that. So on Friday nights, if you're in the Monroe area, give a listen to the K104 Downs Law Friday Night Scoreboard Show. Gene Ponte and company are there. Gene, for those who may have never heard the show before, where can they find y'all and what can they expect when they tune in?
and we're a nice 100,000-watt FM, so we can reach out and bang that gong pretty good at K104. And there every Friday night. Looking forward to keeping everybody in the area up to date on what's going on.
He is Gene Ponte, the K104 Downs Law Friday Night Scoreboard Show. Gene, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Hey, have a great weekend.
We move on to Central Louisiana. Lamar Gafford with SinLawPreps.com joining us. And Lamar, I think it's safe to say Alexandria Senior High is legit. The Trojans wiping the floor with Destrehan last Friday night, handing Destrehan one of the worst losses they've had in quite some time. I know the last couple of weeks we're asking, is this Ash team for real? Are they legit? Are they a true state title contender? And I think after 3 weeks of the season, we can say yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, with a game like that, I mean, facing against a good Destrehan team at your home here, they definitely showed that they were pretty much for real in this case. I mean, you jump out 14 to nothing early on after, you know, Destrehan, they have a muffed punt, and then, you know, you force them to go three and out. And the next thing you know, I mean, hey, you're up 14 to nothing here. I mean, that's the type of stuff that kind of got them some momentum going on. I think, obviously, JT Lindsey, you know, he had 30 carries for 200 yards, and, you know, he really showed himself out there as probably one of the better running backs out there. He definitely was one of those LSU guys that commits in the game. But then also guys like Darius Washington, who, you know, also had three touchdowns in the first half, receiving, kind of setting the tone a little bit for Ash. I mean, I think that was a game that not just only put a lot of spotlight on him, but also put a whole lot of spotlight on this Ash team that, hey, maybe, like you said, that maybe they are for real, and maybe they possibly can get a chance to get down to the zone.
And for Alexandria, they don't get an easier test this week. They take on an Opelousas High School team coming off a state championship last year, and they have to go to Donald Gardner Stadium in Opelousas to play this game. For Ash, what's the key to success to getting a victory here and keeping their role going?
Yeah, pretty much try to stop the four kid as much as you can. I mean, that's going to be the big thing there. It's going to be a big matchup between Ford and also Lindsey, because those are two other guys that are, like you said, big running back recruits in the state here. So I'm excited just to see, you know, who outdoes the other and everything else like that. But, you know, already, I mean, this is, again, what Ash is trying to do with the schedule here, you know, beefed up the schedule with Destrehan, with Union Parish, with West Feliciana as well, you know, just to try to get them prepared for that long grind for the playoffs. And so far, it's working.
Elsewhere in Central Louisiana, Peabody having to go on the road. They'll play at Franklin this week, moving to Avoyelles Parish. Bunkie takes on Central Catholic. That's a long road trip for them. They, too, have to go to St. Mary Parish, to Morgan City, to play Central Catholic. And then you look at Avoyelles. They get to stay in Mooreville this weekend playing Buckeye. So you've got your Avoyelles Parish representation there, all playing tough matchups. The only one at home is Avoyelles. For these teams, as they get closer to district play, what are you looking for from them to continue their push towards a district title and or playoff berth?
Yeah, just looking forward to just trying to see how can they right the ship in the most of the cases here. Now, I know Bunky is going to be in a good situation right now. They're 3-0. They're playing with house money. It looks like they had a great showing against the Vols, pretty much took care of them in the first half, and most of their starters, you know, got a chance to rest up. So they're going to be well rested. The Vols in this case, I know they're 0-3, but they're a tough 0-3. I mean, yeah, the Bunky game was a little bit tough for them, but they did perform very well against Marshville. They did perform very well against Pineville that they possibly could. And their thing is trying to get to district play. I mean, last season they had a brutal schedule, and I think that had prepared them for along the way. And I think this year, as the season progresses, they're probably going to be a good second half team. And I even look at Marshville in this case too, where, you know, Marshville, you know, they had two tough losses, the Church Point and Iota. Now to get Parbari at home, and I think for homecoming, and I think that's going to be one of those things that they're going to try to take out their frustrations there, because they knew that they shouldn't have lost those two games late and everything else like that. They had a chance of getting 3-0. You know, they didn't, but I feel like that they're going to bounce right back in this week as well.
A team we've not spoken about too much, a team that had an historic year last year, is Gina. They're 2-1. They lost to St. Frederick's in a close game last week, 15-14. They get Winfield this week. For Gina, what do they need to do to get back on the horse?
Yeah, absolutely. Just try to continue to do what they do. I mean, I think St. Fred was a tough matchup here for them as well. I mean, they really it's a game that they're very physical. And, of course, you know, shout out to them and them hitting a game-winning field goal as time expired there. But, yeah, it was a physical matchup out there between those two. But all Gina has to really do is just continue to commit to the running game and also just continue to play their game there. I mean, they get a Winfield team that's also in the same boat that they lost last week to West Washington, a tough physical matchup there. So, you know, neither one of these teams wants to go to 2-2 after that 2-0 start. And so I would imagine that that's probably going to be pretty much one of our better games around here in the area. And that might be the game I go to. So I'll definitely get a chance to see if that's the case there. But, I mean, that's going to be an old rivalry game. I can only imagine that's going to be a big matchup there between those two teams. And, you know, I can't wait here. But, yeah, all Gina has to really do is just, you know, just continue to do what they do. And I think they'll be all right.
Other games of note, Holy Savior Menard traveling to Abbeville to play the Wildcats of Abbeville. There, Tioga gets Richwood, and Pineville going to Leesville to play the Wampus Cats. Another decent matchup there. Quickly, a prediction in that one.
Yeah, prediction. I feel like I think Leesville pretty much has that one here, especially if they could try to see if they can try to stop Xavier Ford. The crazy thing is Ford only had like 98 yards in his last game, so you can kind of have a feeling that he's going to try to get back to his 200-yard matchup there. But, you know, don't sleep on Pineville. I think Pineville's going to be all right, but I feel like Leesville, I'll give the edge to them right now.
Lamar Gafford, truly a gentleman and a scholar. We appreciate you joining us on your planning period once again as you give us a preview of what's going on in Central Louisiana. Lamar Gafford, SinlawPreps.com. As always, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
And we'll pause for this commercial break. We'll be back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
And we're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. We'll take a break from looking at games across the state of Louisiana, and now we'll turn our focus to one of the top coaches in the state of Louisiana, state champion at St. James, parlayed that success into a stint at Grambling State University as an assistant coach, and now as the head coach of the St. Augustine Purple Knights. Robert Valdez joining us on the line. Coach Valdez, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
I remember when you were first hired, there was a video that circulated on social media of you dressed in a suit speaking to your men, your players at St. Aug, and laying out the expectations of what you wanted from them, how you were going to run that program, and what you expected in year one. And in that minute or so of watching that clip, I thought to myself, I want to play for this guy now. It was, you were fair, you were firm, but it was inspiring all at the same time. What's the buy-in been like from your guys over the course of the last 9 months since you've taken over the program?
It's been exceptional. I think that, you know, the school, the building, the legacy and the tradition that we have at St. Augustine High School really does lend itself towards you know, building character and building leaders and doing those things. And I think our kids, you know, understand that this, I bring a different, you know, mentality. It's a little bit more of you know, let's get to work, old school type of football. We're gonna have some fun, but let's be accountable and let's be where we're supposed to be at. Football is what we do for fun. I think it's like, you know, cashing a check or getting paid on Friday. But the kids have been well. The parents have been good. The administration has been good. And we just, we're young, and we're just trying to ride this wave and, you know, see how much we can do.
You mentioned that this is a proud program. Last year, 4-8, went winless in the Catholic League, even though the team made the playoffs and got to the second round. That's well below the standard that St. Aug has. It's been a long time since St. Augustine has won a state championship. You've been to the mountaintop. You know what it's like. How have you been able to impart that knowledge of what it's like to win a state title to these kids and make them understand that there is more than just being mediocre?
Well, the biggest thing about, and we tell them, we made it clear, we have two goals. We have to win district and to win state. That's our two goals. That's the only two goals that we have in our program. And the work ethic, the things that you do that's not seen in the classroom, in the hallway, in the weight room, in preparation, and how you take care of your body, and you know, how intentional you are about being accountable. And so those are the things that we, you know, we try to put in place with our young men. And you know, the thing about this program, when you have the resources and opportunities that we have, it's, you know, it lends itself towards production and productivity. And, you know, we want our guys to leave here and go to college and, you know, play college football, but more importantly, get an education, come back to New Orleans and be leaders and, you know, help cultivate and run our city. And, but, you know, the football component, and I tell them, and we keep talking about it, is the fun part. We play football for fun.
And even though you play for fun, you are playing to win, playing to be successful. And
correct.
So far this season, you've done that with wins over McDonough 35, a win over Cecilia, going on the road, a last-minute trip scheduled after Hurricane Francine hit the state. You go there, you shut down Diesel Solari and win that game 54-38. Then last week, a loss to an out-of-state program, Cardinal Ritter, out of the St. Louis area, 36-20, mm-hmm. the result there. But the fact that you've had early success with this squad, what does that say about not just this team, but the coaching staff that you have around you?
We got some great men, and got some guys that are very, very intentional and hardworking. You know, we've kind of hit the ground running a little bit. We've had a really good summer. We did, you know, like I said, if you're married to a coach, and you know, you understand that you got to kind of be a little bit, you know, easy on them because we put a lot of time in. We did a real good job this summer with our kids and the things that we did to compete. And the biggest thing this summer was getting to compete in 7-on-7 and camps and doing different things. And then, like I said, our coaching staff has come in, and we're trying as best we can still, because it's still new. I mean, everything is still new. Identify our players and try to put them in the best position possible to be successful. You know, we've kind of hit the ground running. I mean, we have our quarterback, Rashawn Coulon, has done an exceptional job of being able to understand some of the things that we want to put in place. But the biggest thing that I brag about him is that he's a 4.6 grade point average kid with a 23 on ACT. So, you know, but I mean, we still have a lot of work to do. I think that, you know, the success and all that is good, but we still have, you know, there's a bar and it's a standard. And then we start district play this Saturday with a very, very good physical Warren Easton team. We have to take one game at a time, but, you know, like everything else, respect is earned. So we're a work in progress, and, you know, we take it one week at a time.
You understand how important this tradition is because you're from here. You played football at O'Perry Walker.
Right.
You were a four-year letter winner at Southern, a member of two black college football national championship squads while at Southern. So you get what football means to this area, and especially for St. Aug. I'd imagine that you've had some alumni give you a few reminders as well since you've been hired.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it's funny, when I got hired, the day of that video, that introduction, it was an alumni meeting. So I got a chance to go to the alumni meeting and, you know, kind of sit down with about 50 or 60 alumni. You know, and yes, they and they're serving as though. There are so many great men that walk these halls. I mean, we have 34 former alumni NFL players, the guys that went to, you know, play in the NFL, and guys, you know, from all over that have played, you know, college football. You know, and I just sitting down and soaking it up, you know, you can't really tell the story of New Orleans without not telling the story of St. Augustine. And even athletics and as a school and as an institution. But it's a lot of pride. The men have a lot of pride. The alumni have a lot of pride. And, you know, families that pour into our program have a lot of pride. So to be able to, you know, put ourselves in position of contention and to be able to, you know, kind of compete at a high level is just basically something that our alumni deserves.
For those who are listening to this and they're thinking, St. Augustine, not won a state title since 1979, why should we pay attention to them? Tell those who may be doubting this team why they should be taking notice of the St. Augustine Purple Knights.
Well, I mean, I think that it's going to be a determined group of hardworking young men and coaches. It's going to be a group of guys that are going to, you know, try to go out there and, you know, like I said, we don't have the respect yet. We shouldn't, given the history, the recent history, and we haven't won anything significantly since 1979. But that's the biggest measuring stick, is being able to go out and try as best we can to play a clean game when we're not beating ourselves, you know, where we are basically executing, you know, as best we can with what we have and not, you know, self-imploding. Those are goals, but you know, you're gonna get some grit, you're gonna get some toughness, you're gonna get guys that are gonna go out there and they're gonna go full speed and play hard. And at the end of the day, you know, there's gonna be, you know, somebody's gonna have some sore bruises and whatnot, because we want to play a physical brand of football. We really want to play that's my type of football. You know, we want to run the ball. We want to stop the run. If we can do those things, then you know, we'll be able to have a chance to be successful and win. But no, just the biggest thing about us is that we just want to rebuild this program on those principles of hard work and attention to details.
Before we let you go, Coach, the keys to victory against Warren Easton.
Oh, man, we have to be able to stop and contain the run. They have some very dynamic, explosive running backs, have a real big offensive line. We have to be able to, you know, be able to pick up in their pressures. They do a very good job. Coach Jerry Phillips has those guys playing. And every year those guys, they play at a high level. So, like I said, it's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be, you know, clash of will, because they want to establish a physical presence, and we want to as well. So we'll see who's going to be able to, you know, basically carry out the mantra of their program.
He is head coach Robert Valdez of St. Augustine, the Purple Knights, taking on Warren Easton this Saturday. That game is going to be over at Tad Gormley Stadium. So if you're out and about looking for a game to go to Saturday, that is the one. Coach, we appreciate the time. Best of luck this week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview after this.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The Pelican State Prep Football Preview Week 4 edition rolls on as we take a look at the goings-on in the New Orleans metro area. Coach Lou Vounden, one of my co-hosts on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup on WWL, joins us. And Coach, it's a big week. The Catholic League starts up this week. The game will be at Joe Yenny Stadium. John Curt is taking on Archbishop Rummel. Rummel broke out the Powder Blues last week. They look good. They got the victory. Now they're playing a John Curtis team coming off a bye week. Does that bye help or hurt Curtis coming into a game against the red-hot Rummel team?
I don't know. It may hurt Curtis because Rummel's playing really well. I mean, Rummel beat a good Shaw team, and I mean beat them handily. They ran the ball up and down the field on Shaw. Their offensive line's big and physical. So that could possibly have hurt Curtis having that week off because high school kids need that routine. Now you get guys healthy, though. So that could be an advantage for them. But you got Rummel Curtis. You got Big Tom, Brother Martin Jesuit this week. You have Carl Holy Cross and St. Aug and Warren Easton. I think a lot of people are waiting to see how Warren Easton's going to fare in this Catholic League. You know, we kind of know how good the other teams are. We find out how Warren Easton matches up with these other teams in the Catholic League. So you got Brother Martin Jesuit, Carl Holy Cross, St. Aug Warren Easton, Curtis Rummel. In the River Parishes, you have Destrehan and East St. John. That's always any time two River Parish teams get together, that's going to be a ball game. And it's going to be interesting to see how Newman plays against the Willow School right down the street after being off for 2 weeks. So that'll be interesting to see how they were able to handle that 2 weeks without having an opponent and then get ready for somebody.
We talked with Nelson about that a couple weeks ago on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, and he kept saying routine, 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 making sure that it's not broken. But I know that you try to keep the routine going even when you don't have a game, but that Friday night where you're not playing, where you're at home when the Friday night lights are shining elsewhere, that's got to be rough for those kids.
Sure. You know, they want to play. And so you had 2 weeks of practice, and, you know, football practice isn't very fun. You know, so you had, you know, 6 to 8 practices where you weren't getting ready for anybody. And then just going through the motions, fundamentals, kicking game, you know. But now, this week they get to crank it up against somebody. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. I know traditionally I was fortunate that after a bye, I had 2 byes in my career. And after both of them, we won, but we played horrible. So, I mean, we were lucky to win. So I know with high school boys, they're the most confused human beings on the planet. As much routine as you can get. And so that's got to be a major breaking routine for the Newman Greenies.
I want to go to the North Shore for a little bit. Lakeshore plays North Lake Christian this week. And Lakeshore, of course, coached by Brent Indest, who has been a winner everywhere he's gone, still subscribes to the wing tee offense, even though it's gone out of vogue almost a decade or so ago. What is it about the wing tee that still allows teams to be successful, like Brent Indest's Lakeshore squad, all these years after so many other squads have gone to spread offenses?
You have 1 week to get ready for something they run all year. It's the same as if you're playing Acadiana or Curtis. You know, it's the misdirection. You have to read the guards, which is something you don't normally have to do, something you don't do in the spread. So you have to change up everything. Everything for your linebackers is new. Their reads. The blocking schemes are schemes you don't see. And so it's just, you know, they run it every day. You got 3 days to get ready. And that's what makes it very difficult to stop. You know, back in the day, you know, everyone ran the wing tee. Well, eventually you knew how to stop it. Now everyone runs the spread. People have ideas how to stop the spread. But then all of a sudden, here comes, you know, old school wing tee with a lot of motion, a lot of misdirection, and a lot of play action pass, so that you don't see out of spread offense.
Lastly, St. Charles Catholic playing De La Salle this week, that at the Shrine on Airline. St. Charles losing a close game to Dunham last Friday night. And for this Comet squad and for Coach Wayne Stein, they've had some trials and tribulations to start their first season in 4A. When are we going to see this St. Charles Catholic squad find its footing and be the team that we know they are?
Well, you want to peak for district. So I know they're very young. They had to replace a lot. They had the same quarterback The first time they had this guy at quarterback, you know, they had a three-year starter at quarterback prior to this season. So they're very young. I think if you're weighing, you just want to get better every week. Really, the enemy has no face. You want to get better. You want to get better because you got to figure, you know, you have Shaw in your district and Bell Chase, so you got a chance to win those two and be the district champion. So you want to peak for whatever your first district ball game is.
And those are some of the big games on the schedule this week in the New Orleans metro area. We'll have them all covered on Friday night on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Coach Lou, Alan Waddell, and I will be at Gioiani Stadium as Rummel takes on John Curtis this Friday night. That's at 7 o'clock on WWL. Coach Lou, we'll see you then. Thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Ian, looking forward to it.
From New Orleans, we head down to the River Parish as Troy LaBeouf joins us. And, Troy, let's start with Destrehan. They got beat by Alexandria Senior High last week pretty decisively. What does Destrehan need to do to recover from a series of bad losses to open the season?
Yeah, good to be with you again this weekend. A little bit more normalcy, if you will, for high school football as we had in the week four. Look, as a coach, as a former coach, you know this too. You don't make excuses because of injuries, but Destrehan's had some injuries to deal with, including their starting quarterback, Jackson Fields. So, and I know Coach Marcus and those guys, they're not going to make that excuse, but I'm going to make it for them. They got some key guys that have been out. If you put their best guys on the field, they're very difficult to beat. But again, those coaches are not going to make those excuses. And albeit too, they play a very difficult schedule. If I'm a Destrehan fan, if I'm that coaching staff, I wouldn't set up the fire alarms. I wouldn't be too concerned at this point. It's early in the season. They've lost some tough games. But if they have their full contingency of players out there, I like their chances in every game. They're just going through a little rough patch with not all of their guys being able to play, and they've had to play some younger guys, including a younger quarterback. In these early games, usually a veteran quarterback being out.
The good news, though, for Destrehan is that they have an opportunity to rebound and rebound big time this week playing an 0-2 East St. John team.
Yeah, you know, East St. John's had a tough time. You know, they got a talented football team, but again, you know, they lost to a talented St. James team in one of their games, so they got shut out in that game. It's just tough. I mean, you play a lot of good teams, but I do like Destrehan to get back on track this week. They're 1-2. Again, don't do the alarms, guys. It's going to be okay if you're following the Destrehan Wildcats. Coach Marcus Scott and his team, they'll be just fine as they head into we'll be talking about district games, albeit some of the bigger districts are starting this week.
Ascension Catholic, they got a big win over St. Thomas Aquinas last week, and we're going to get a matchup that may be the game of the week across the state of Louisiana. Chad Elzey and company at Ascension will take on the folks over at Dunham, who had a big win at St. Charles Catholic this past week. You have two stud players that are going to be on either side of the field. Of course, we mentioned Chad Elzey for Ascension Catholic, 4 touchdowns, 5 carries last week, 205 yards. Quarterback Camille LaBeouf there, 169 yards passing, 2 touchdowns there. And then on Dunham's sideline, the sophomore quarterback Elijah Haven, who had a spectacular game last week at St. Charles.
Yeah, that's going to be a big matchup. Obviously, I'll be watching that closely. I'll get to watch it as a dad this week. I don't have any media responsibilities this week. So Dunham has their own broadcast, so we're not going to be doing our broadcast for Ascension Catholic. I'm going to be a fan, and I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to support my son and his teammates and the coaches. This is a huge matchup. This is not a situation where if Ascension Catholic loses or Dunham loses, it's the end of the season for either one of them. Both of them are undefeated. It's going to be a huge challenge. The Bulldogs defensively have a veteran group led by Mace Melanson and Gavin Gregoire. They'll have their hands full with Elijah Haven. And he is the real deal. And he's a humble young man. And I watched the replay of the St. Charles game. They were down 8-0 at the half, but that didn't faze him. Coach Neil Weiner and his staff, they have those guys believing. They come back and they get the job done in the second half. And look, St. Charles, they really hit Haven a lot. They hit him on every single play. But he made the plays when he needed to. It was a close game. It came down in the fourth quarter, and Dunham was a little bit better. for Ascension Catholic. They had a somewhat of an easy game against St. Thomas. Elsie touched the ball five times and scored on all five times. So you mentioned LaBeouf threw for 169 yards. They were able to air it out. I think the key to this week between these two teams is Dunham's ability to stop Elsie. Is that going to force Ascension Catholic to throw the football more than they want to? We'll see. Going to have to make some good decisions, take care of the football. And on the other side, how does Ascension Catholic's defense match up against Haven? These two teams have played within a touchdown of each other the last two seasons. It came down to the last play of the game last year when Dunham was able to get an interception in the end zone on a third or fourth and goal right at the end of the game. So I'm looking for it should be a good game between these two.
It certainly should be. St. Charles, we mentioned that Dunham beat them. They get a chance to rebound against an 0-3 De La Salle team. For St. Charles to right the ship, what do they need to do?
Yeah, you know, when's the last time St. Charles has been 0-2? And let's be honest. I mean,
been a long time.
You'd have to go and look it up. But again, just like I talked about with Destran, don't set the fire alarm off. Coach Wainstein and staff have not forgot how to coach. They're going to be just fine. They play a tough schedule. Look, De La Salle, who coming this season, I was very excited about their chances. I know they have some young guys they're playing. They're 0-3. So somebody's going to get their first win in this one. I do like St. Charles to rebound this week. Watching the game against Dunham, St. Charles did everything, just about everything right defensively in that game. Offensively, just they missed some opportunities. They have to cash in on those opportunities against De La Salle.
Meanwhile, Terrebonne 3-0, they're at Hanville this week. Last week getting a 24-21 victory over St. James.
Yeah, Terrebonne's talented, man. They are really talented, well-coached. Coach Lewis does a good job. They really have guys across the board. They got those Jimmies and Joes, as we talk about. They're off to a fantastic start. They beat some really good teams, beat Riverside, beat St. James. What a game between Terrebonne and St. James. It came down to an official's call at the end. And look, you don't lose a game on an official's call, but St. James had a touchdown called back. It was an illegal formation, illegal man downfield. And if you go back and look at it, the referees made the correct call. So those folks are out there talking about the referees lost the game for St. James. That's not true. Freshman quarterback Juwan Jackson for St. James, he's been really good, 197 yards and two touchdowns. They have great names over there. You know, we talked about Kenai King-Young. What about Jaquez Villanueva? 11 catches, 155 yards receiving. So this is going to be a game where you're going to have a bunch of Division I athletes on the field. It may come down to the last team that possesses the ball in this one.
Lutcher, 28-6 victory last week over Liberty. They get Assumption this week. What can we expect there?
Impressive victory for Lutcher. Not an easy game to win. They took care of business this past week. I think their defense has been really what I've liked so far. I mean, offensively, you know, they put up four touchdowns in the game. The quarterback, the coach's son, has been really good, Zach Jenkins. They got Trenton Chaney, a running back, who's a Division I player that they give the football to. But they're going to play Assumption. Assumption's 1-2, albeit Assumption's lost two close games. They lost a close game to H.L. Bourgeois, and they lost a close game where they just got beat right at the end by Thibodeau. But I do like Lutcher to continue their winning ways. This football team is built on defense. Rashad Sterling, a defensive end, he's got an LSU offer. He's committed to Houston right now, and they got some other guys as well. They got a defensive back committed to UL Lafayette, so they got some Jimmies and Joes on that team. But I do like Lutcher this week at Assumption.
So you're taking Lutcher to win that game. This is a Lutcher squad that's looked good so far this year, looking to keep that role going. And then St. James at Ponchatoula. St. James having to go to the North Shore there. And we talked about Juwan Johnson earlier with his week last week, nearly 200 yards passing, two touchdowns. Jaquez Villanueva also looked good, 155 yards receiving there.
Yeah, they got some weapons offensively, but their defense has been good for them. Playing a freshman quarterback, you have your ups and downs, but Johnson's been good. You know, he's taking care of the ball. He's talented. I mean, you almost are talking about a replica of what they had years ago with our current head coach at Ascension Catholic, and Lowell Narcisse, who played as a freshman, who plays an eighth grader, if you will, a little bit on the campus at St. James. So I think you have another super talented player in Johnson. You know, they gave him the keys to run the program, and they're really they're not just having him hand the football off. He's having to throw it. He's having to make reads. He can do it with his legs as well. They'll have a huge test this week at Ponchatoula. Ponchatoula is a good program who's played a difficult schedule so far. It's hard to pick this one. St. James probably a little bit more talented, but this is going to be a tough road game for the Wildcats.
And we also have to give our flowers to Edie White. They beat Hanville last week 21-18. West St. John coming back down from 25-6 to beat Donaldsonville 34-32. We've seen a lot of good football in the River Parishes as district opens up. Who are some of the teams you'll be watching for?
Yeah, I tell you what, you mentioned those teams, Edie White. They're playing a difficult schedule. Coach couldn't find teams to play them. As they go through the new cycle here for 2 years, they start calling around. Nobody wants to play you. You know, because you got a good program, so you got to go out and just take who's there, and they haven't shied away from it. They lost the Jesuit, but then now they play Hanville, and Hanville's Coach Earl Bourne's got it going again, and graduate of Hanville. You mentioned West St. John, who was down 25-6 in that game. They come back and beat Donaldsonville on the last play of the game, so congratulations, Coach Darren Thomas. But I do want to mention Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. They're undefeated down in the home area. 28-6 over 5A Sulphur. Watch out for Vanderbilt. They make a little bit of noise. They're going to have a matchup coming down the road here with Lusher that we'll talk about.
Troy LaBeouf, our River Parish's correspondent, joining us on this week's edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Troy, as always, we appreciate the time. Safe travels on the road. We'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it, Ian.
We're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. We'll head to the Baton Rouge metro area right after this. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. We now head to the Baton Rouge metropolitan area. Robin Fambro with The Advocate joins us. And Robin, this past week had a chance to see Dunham play St. Charles. And everything we've heard about this team is for real. They came in, they won that game by the final score of 20-15. And Dunham, with their sophomore quarterback, I knew they'd be good. I didn't realize they would be that effective and that good of a team on the field.
Yeah, and I think they're surprising some people. I actually think they're underrated a little bit, to be honest with you, because I think they have exceeded expectations. They're not, I guess, what some people think they would be, just him and some other guys. A lot of those other guys can play, too, now.
And this week, they wind up facing Ascension Catholic, a Thursday night game, so a quick turnaround for Dunham. What can we expect in that game?
I think it's a great matchup. You've got... That's another team that I think is underrated, too. Ascension Catholic is coached by former St. James and LSU quarterback Lowell Narcisse. He's in his first year. And they have one of our area's most dynamic playmakers in Chad Elzey Jr., who they use as a running back. They'll split him out as a receiver. And the Dunham coaches told me in reviewing film, they actually have a role for him that kind of fits in between receiver and running back that they've never seen before in terms of the formation, the way they're using it. But in two games, he has over 400 yards rushing and has almost a 14 yards per carry average.
So this is going to be a matchup where, on the Dunham side, we'll be looking at Elijah Haven, we'll be looking at Chad Elzey on the Ascension Catholic side. Is there any magic bullet for either of these two teams to stop the other star player?
Well, that's going to depend on the defense they construct. You know, I don't know a lot about Ascension Catholic's defense. I don't know. They don't necessarily face as many pass-oriented teams, perhaps on the 1A level. But they're early in the year. They did beat a 5A team, H.L. Bourgeois, week one. You know, they're gonna be tested for sure because – as you saw, he can throw it, but he can also run with it. There's some other things they can do. So, you know, that's going to be a test, and that's what they're looking for. They want to be able to say they can make a deep playoff run after going to the quarters last year. So in terms of flipping it and, you know, how does Dunham stop him, stop Elzey, you know, that's going to be an interesting challenge because he'll be as athletic as any running back they'll see. They could see someone like him in the playoffs or someone maybe a different type, a bigger guy who runs harder, you know, more of a bruising running back. But this is going to be a pure, you know, athlete test, I guess you would say, in terms of how do you stop this guy. And, you know, they did well last week at St. Charles with one kind of challenge. They've had a different kind of challenge, I think, every week so far. So this is the latest one for them.
Meanwhile, Catholic falling to U-High this past Friday night in overtime. U-High as good as advertised. Catholic now has to bounce back quickly. Play West Monroe this week. West Monroe on the road at Catholic. These are two hard-hitting teams, two teams that we know are going to beat each other up. For Catholic, what's the goal for them to get back in the win column?
Well, they got kind of they have a couple of injuries they're probably looking at right now. I know one of their quarterbacks, Baylor Graves, got hurt in the first half and did not play in the second half. And, you know, that had to be a factor, I'm sure, in a lot of the things they do. Although Turner Goldsmith is very capable. He does some good things, too. But each quarterback has different attributes. And that's why they've kind of used them a little bit as a unit. You know, Catholic is good at turnarounds. And one of the traditions of their program, one of the foundation points, it goes back to Coach Dale Weiner, who was elected to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. It was announced last week, was that it's not always your action, it's your reaction when something negative happens. How do you respond? And that's one of the things that they've always taken pride in, whether it's a loss, whether it's a touchdown. How do you respond to that? And I know there's going to be a lot of interest in this. Now, you know, West Monroe is not in that top group right now. In 5A, so it'll be interesting to see. A win for them would be really, really huge right now. So it'll be interesting to see how they match up and exactly what they do. Physically, from what I understand it, it should be a pretty solid physical matchup in terms of, I think, size and some other things.
Central takes on Cecilia. That game featuring an undefeated Central squad. Last week we asked their coaching staff, what's it going to take to stop Diesel Solari? They said even they're not sure. But this Central team is good enough to where they could go in and beat this Bulldog team. We saw Cecilia lose to St. Aug a couple weeks ago. They're certainly not invincible, even though they're the reigning defending Division II non-select runner-up.
Well, I mean, that's true. And I mean, you know, and this is a home game for Central. They play very well at home. And the defense, led by D.K. Mays, who's a Houston commitment, is very, very good. His brother, K.D., is also very good as a linebacker. They're not slack players on defense by any stretch of the imagination. Now, Diesel Solari is very good. They have two guys who coordinate their defense there, Anthony Camp was an assistant. He played at Parkview. He was an assistant at Parkview and at Catholic before going on to the college ranks. He was most recently an assistant at Louisiana Tech. He's got a lot of experience. And then Corey Lindsay, who moved over from Liberty. There's a guy that was an All-American at Southern Illinois. He played high school ball at Scotlandsville. And he was a college All-American at Southern Illinois as a DB, and then he played a little bit in the NFL. So, you know, you can betcha they're trying to figure out what to scheme, how to scheme, and it may be a thing of they allow certain things in order to make sure they don't have, like the little Dutch boy, there's a hole in the dike that pops somewhere else, because Cecilia is certainly not talentless in other areas. So it's kind of an intriguing matchup, but again, Central plays well at home, and they've got every reason to play with confidence.
Couple other intriguing matchups on the schedule this week. Plaquemine takes on Brule. Plaquemine 2-1. Brule is 2-0, and that a bit of a regional rivalry there. You also have East Ascension at Denham Springs in 5-5A play, and Catholic of Pointe Coupee at Westminster in 5-1A. They open their district slate. So the Baton Rouge area this week, a ton of games that are on the schedule that are worthy of top billing anywhere in the state.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got a lot of intrigue there. Brule and Plaquemine have been longtime rivals there on the same side of the river. Brule had a lot of guys back from last year. They're building. Plaquemine, I know this is the second year for Coach Donald Williams. Everybody has told me they've got things pointed in the right direction, too. They're always athletic. I think both teams are. This used to be a really, really intense rivalry, And I think it's kind of getting back to that point because, again, it's two schools that are located. They're in different parishes, but they're not that far apart. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. Denham and EA, kind of a barometer game for both going into 5-5A. Denham, of course, bounced back, got that last-second field goal to beat Woodlawn. And EA has one win so far under their under its first-year coach, Brock Mathern. They played some tough teams on the road, like Sam Houston last week. You know, that's going to be a nice test for both of those teams just to kind of see where they are as they get ready to progress into the rest of district play. 5-1A with Catholic, PC, and Westminster, that's definitely a great starting point. I think most people believe Opelousas Catholic and Catholic PC are probably the favorites in that district, but Westminster is one of the teams that's also supposed to be contending.
And that 1A district, considering you have Catholic of Point Coupee, that you have the Westminsters, the Opelousas Catholics of the world, it'll certainly be a fun district to watch, as they typically are every year. We should also note North Iberville, East Iberville, and Baker, all unbeaten. We'll get to see them as they get district play underway in the next week or so. Robin Fambro with The Advocate joining us. Robin, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All righty, thank you so much.
From the Baton Rouge region, we now move to Acadiana. Kevin Foote with the Acadiana Advocate joining us. Kevin, a big matchup in 4-4A. Turling's taking on Westgate this week, and Westgate last week whipping up on former district member Lafayette Christian. Turling's expected to have a drop-off this year, but even though they lost a bunch of seniors, they're looking awfully good to start the year. What do you expect from these two teams on Friday night?
Well, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting matchup. It seems like I've covered this game the last few years. It's been very competitive, two clashing styles. I mean, Westgate is extremely fast, a lot of big plays. And Turling gets a lot of big plays at times, but a lot of it's in the running game. And so it'll be interesting to see. They've run the ball on everyone they've played so far. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep, you know, they should be able to run the ball, but can they get enough big plays? And it's the classic run the ball and try to keep the other team's offense off the field because you're bigger and not faster, but bigger and stronger against a team that's going to try to get a lot of big plays because they have so much speed. I mean, they have Antoine's a playmaking quarterback, and Gordon, the running back, has been in making great plays, and they got a wide receiver, Leon at Westgate, that's been making big plays. It's a big play team against a big physical running team. And so, I mean, those matchups are always very interesting. It's a chess match.
There are seven teams in 4-4A this year after the reshuffle. Como comes into the district. They'll play Rain this week at Rain. North Vermilion, Northside. Northside's been a mixed bag the last few years. North Vermilion's been good, but they've just not been able to get over the hump. Then you have St. Thomas More. They're the odd man out this week because they're on a district bye, as it were, but they're playing a North Louisiana opponent in Neville in what's going to be another tough match for Cougar squad that's coming off a loss to Catholic of Baton Rouge.
Yeah, they you know, STM lost to Catholic, and they lost to Acadiana. And, you know, this again, like we talked about last week, it's just a different STM team. The offense is just not what it was. I mean, you know, their defense, I think, it played really well last week, played really well the week before. It's just that when you're throwing the ball without much efficiency, it's hard. I didn't think STM ran. They should have leaned on the run maybe a little more last week. I don't know all the reasons that went into that against Acadiana. But obviously Neville's a team that's very good. And the problem with being an STM and having all the success that you have is there are very few teams that are going to play you. And so you're probably in the pre-district going to be playing teams like Catholic of Baton Rouge and Acadiana and Neville. And if you have a little bit of a transition year, then, you know, it's pretty unrelenting. And, you know, they don't get much of a break like a lot of other teams do. And no, it's going to be really tough. Again, they play great defense. They have a good running game. But so much of what their success is based on efficiency in the passing game, and it's just not there right now for STM.
In District 5-4A, several decent matchups there, all of them non-district. Brobridge playing Kaplan in what's going to be a dogfight. You have Cecilia taking on Central of Baton Rouge. Diesel Solari, we know how good he's been. And Opelousas, defending state champion, taking on Alexandria, who themselves this year look like an early contender for one of the Division I state titles.
Well, you know, Brobridge is really struggling. They've got a lot of injuries. BC beat them like 45-0. Kaplan had a rough start to the season, but they handled North Vermillion last week. And so I kind of feel like Kaplan will take care of that situation unless Brobridge is healthier this week than they've been in recent weeks and that I'm unaware of. But, you know, Opelousas, we know what they are. You know, their biggest deal right now to me, you know, they're dealing with, their field situation and having to play at Turlings was upsetting to them. And so they need, now that the weather's good, they shouldn't have to worry about that for a while, hopefully. And they're also dealing with having a target on their back. I mean, it's just different. Like, they've been the team that has been chasing. It's totally different being the one that everyone's chasing you instead of you trying to prove yourself. And so, you know, we'll see how they handle that situation. But, no, that's some good non-district games there.
In District 3-5A, the competition begins. Acadiana's been the class of 3-5A the last few years, but Barb so far this year looks like they're going to give the Lafayette area schools a run for their money. Barb gets their first test against Karen Crow this week. Does Barb have an opportunity to knock off the Acadianas and Karen Crows of the world and win this district title for the first time in a few years?
I don't know if they're there defensively just yet. You know, I think that is an interesting matchup because, you know, Karen Crow's 0-3, but they lost by 1 point to STM. You know, they got beat a little bit better than that by LCA, and then they lost another one last week against Westgate because they couldn't make some extra points. And so, you know, they missed on and lost on a 2-point conversion against STM. So they're off to an 0-3 start, but it's kind of it's not like they played really poor or anything. They just lost to good teams in competitive games. So we'll see. They normally put up a lot of points and a lot of yards against Barb. We'll see if their defense can come through and they can get their first win this week.
Elsewhere in that district, Lafayette and Southside in a cross-parish rivalry, what do you expect from that game?
You know, Lafayette obviously has been playing lower-level teams to get confidence and get some wins and get some momentum going, and we'll see what that means now that they're playing a team you know, in their district. I think Southside, they played a team in Madison Prep that threw the ball a lot. Southside is more of a team that just grinds it out and running the football, and they had a really nice victory last week, pretty dominating. So, you know, I'm very anxious to see. I mean, it's kind of a litmus test game for both of those teams to me. And so, you know, the coach Curtis is new to the district at Southside, so everything's going to kind of be new this first go around at district play. So I think that's a very intriguing game to see what happens for both teams.
A couple others that caught my attention looking through the schedule, Eunice and Kinder, they'll be matching up this week. Erath getting a tough challenge this week as they take on Vermillion Catholic. And Jennings taking on Northwest. Northwest, the state semifinalist last year, Jennings always tough. Of these three games or of any of the others on the schedule we haven't mentioned, what's one that we should be paying attention to this week closely?
Well, I think Erath at BC, obviously. I was a little surprised. Like, Lorville lost to North Vermillion earlier this year and really played BC tough last week. And Erath's off to a good start, had a big win over North Vermillion, and then they, you know, they're off to a 3-0 start, which is great for them because they had a really rough finish the last year and only won two games. And obviously BC is, you know, they've won a lot of regular season games in a row. It's in the 20s now. So, you know, it's going to be tough to beat BC. They have one of the best individual players in our area and in the state. And quarterback Jonathan D'Artes, he just puts up fabulous numbers just about every week, running and passing. And so I think it's going to be tough, but it's, you know, again, Erath's already. I mean, to me, if I'm Erath, this is kind of a lanyard game. If you could beat BC, that would be tremendous. But if not, you're 3-1, and you can't expect much better than that.
And lest we forget, Notre Dame Catholic and New Iberia, a holy war, an Acadiana holy war, taking place in New Iberia this week. Two teams that are very old school in terms of how they play the game, and two schools are going to put on a barn burner of a contest.
Yeah, you know, well, Catholic's thrown in a little bit more than they have at times in recent years. But, no, that is a good contest. And Notre Dame's coming off a very physical game. They lost at Turlings last week. And so I really like that game. You know, I put that game in the top three or four as far as matchups in our area this week.
He is Kevin Foote with the Acadiana Advocate joining us to preview what's going on in the Acadiana area. Kevin, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
No problem, sir. You have a good day.
You too. And we're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. We'll head to Northwest Louisiana right after this. Week 4 of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview rolls on. I am Ian Ozan. We now head to the northwestern part of the state, the Shreveport area. Tim Fletcher from KWKH, 1130 The Tiger, joins us. And Tim, several big matchups this week as district play begins in 1-5A. You've got several huge matchups on the docket there.
We do. It's a good week for high school football. Once we get into district play, that's when it gets kind of really interesting. You know, people have passed a couple of tests already, and you're starting to kind of understand a little bit about what makes these teams tick and who maybe the standouts are. And it kind of begins for us with Airline and Evangel. I'm telling you, man, Airline, they can't help but score in the 50s. That's all they do is put points on the board all three games, 3-0. They're number 10 right now in the power ratings of the non-select side. And they're hosting Evangel on Friday night. Evangel, of course, with Peyton Pops Houston, the super sophomore kid, a quarterback who's already got his trading card with Leaf Trading Cards, and plenty of college offers. And everybody talks about how this kid has got the it factor. Whatever it is, he's got it. And one of the things that it's interesting, we were talking to Justin Scoggin, the Airline head coach who used to coach with David Feaster at Parkway and at Leesville. And, of course, Parkway had Brandon Harris and Keandre Woodtee, a couple of really good quarterbacks back in those days. And he said, we used to practice the scramble drill. You know, you scramble, and our receivers would get into the scramble drill. And it was a positive play for us anytime the pocket broke down. And you're getting that situation with Evangel. That's one of the things that you hear about Evangel right now, is that it's almost better when Peyton Houston gets flushed out of the pocket because the Evangel receivers go into scramble drill. He goes into scramble drill, and he's certainly a weapon with his legs. So it's going to be very interesting to see if Evangel bounces back after their first district loss in 1-5A ever last week. Bird beat him for only the second time in school history. And so is Evangel going to be 0-2? I'm sorry, 1-2 in District 1-5A, or do they bounce back against a very good Airline team that's 3-0? Another game in 1-5A, Ian, that a lot of people are excited about is Captain Shreve at Benton. Benton is winless, but they have been in every game. Two games they've lost by one score, and against Airline, they just kind of ran out of steam. They just ran out of a little bit of steam as they just didn't quite have enough to muster in the second half. But it's one of those things where you look at them. They, too, have a young quarterback in Malachi Ziegler that a lot of people are excited about his potential. He's also getting offers already. And it's very similar to the Peyton Houston kid with Evangel. But Shreve comes in. Jamarcia Plater has been an absolute beast running the football. And he has racked up over 200 yards the last couple of times that he's been out there. And Shreve trying to establish that running game. They've got a quarterback in Brody Savage who can chunk the ball around the yard, so they are a very well-balanced offense. That game is more than likely going to be tight all the way through 48 minutes. And then, Ian, our big game really is in District 1-4A this week. It's Northwood and North DeSoto. It's a backyard brawl-type game. Stonewall, where North DeSoto is located, is a few miles south of Shreveport. Blanchard, where Northwood is located, is a couple of miles north of Shreveport. And so they get together, and it is the fans don't like each other. They complain about when they go to Northwood, they got to pay for parking. When they go down to Stonewall, the Northwood folks complain about going to Stonewall. The kids don't necessarily like each other. The coaches respect each other, but there is a a lot at play here. And North DeSoto is playing without Corey, their wide receiver, who has been an absolute stud for 3 years now, and he's got a banged-up PCL, going to miss a few weeks here, Cole Corey. And so Will Delafield, a great quarterback for North DeSoto, has got his main weapon, and that really affected them last week against West Monroe. They were fighting with him, man. It was a 14-14 game, and then West Monroe scored 49 consecutive points to run away with this one. So North DeSoto trying to bounce back their second game without their star receiver, Cole Corey. Northwood comes at you with a lot more balance. They run the football well. They throw it just enough right now, and they just get you with size. They are a very big, physical 4A team. So should be a doozy down in Stonewall, where Northwood and North DeSoto kick off District 1 4A play.
Which leads to this question. Considering North DeSoto got the pants knocked off of them last week by West Monroe, and they're dealing with all these injuries, what do they have to do to win this game against Northwood?
They just have to not turn the ball over. You know, that's the main thing. They just have to have these drives that produce something other than a fumble, other than a three and out. They've got to kind of just finish the drill of what they have been accustomed to doing. Dennis Dunn's been around the block a few times, the head coach for North DeSoto. He's got several state championships from his days at Evangel. And so he knows what to do. And this program has been in the state championship game. They've been in the state semifinals. That's what they're accustomed to being. They're not used to being 1-2 by any stretch of the imagination. And the fact that they get them at home, that Northwood has to come down there, don't be surprised if there's a little bit of a mild upset of North DeSoto being able to slip past Northwood.
Wrestling fans of the 1990s will get this reference. We go from the Goldbergs of the football world to the Gilbergs, from who's next to who's first. You have teams that in your part of the state that are wildly successful. You've got a few others that are looking to shake long losing streaks, including some of the longest losing streaks currently underway in Louisiana. Let's take a look at some of those matchups and if any of these losing streaks have a chance of being snapped this week.
Well, I'm afraid it's not looking good for the old home team there, buddy. In District 1-4A, Southwood, which was a 5A school years ago and has been a 5A school for a long, long time, has now dropped down to 4A. Enrollment is down. They're on a 39-game losing streak. And this week they get Loyola, who's really, really turning in a solid effort under John Sella in his first year at the helm there. One of the things that Loyola brings to the table, again, very physical team. They create turnovers. But Josh Sella has got three different Loyola head coaches kind of at his disposal. Steven Jeter, whose kid is on the team, also coached at Evangel, played at Evangel. He was a head coach at Loyola. Mike Green, who retired as the head coach at Loyola, is still on staff at Loyola and the administration. The headmaster there at Loyola is Johnny LeBlanc, who was also a longtime Loyola head coach. So Sella, even though this is his first year as a head coach, has got three guys there, and plus Alan Carter's around as well. He's got three, four guys that he can count on to help him kind of navigate through some of the choppy waters of being a head coach. But the main thing is he's got some really fine running backs. He's got a defense that absolutely lays the lumber every single week. And he's got a sophomore quarterback in Bryce Restovich that, once the mistakes get cut down, is going to be a name that people are going to remember for a while. His dad was a really good quarterback at Bird back in his day, around the early 2000s, Brock Restovich. And Bryce is the first of their many children that are coming up that is a very talented kid. And so it doesn't look good for Southwood to snap that 39-game losing streak this week. And as far as plain dealing, they've lost, I think it's 19 or 20 in a row, and they get the Haynesville Golden Tornado this week at home, but it doesn't matter where they're going to play this one. Haynesville is possibly putting together, this might be the best Haynesville team, Ian, we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years. I would not be surprised at all if Haynesville isn't playing in the dome when all is said and done. And this plain dealing squad last week had 12 healthy boys get back on the bus. This week they got 15 kids out. They are struggling. They got beat 62-0 last week by, I think it was Lakeside beat them 62-0. Before that, 64-0 by Ringgold. And they almost beat Tensaw to start the season, but dropped a 16-14 game in that one. And so I was talking to the coach this morning, Clint Walker, and he said, I was like, you know, moral victory's got to play a big part in this, right? And he goes, absolutely. He goes, we're not looking at just winning a series of plays. He goes, we go play by play. Like if our boys are able to win a play, we are able to kind of celebrate that a little bit later on when we watch it on film, and the kids get to feel better about that. And so that's the situation they're dealing with. They're playing dealing. They've only got 15 kids. They're trying to just win one play at a time, and they're taking on Hainesville, who may be one of, if not the best, public 1A school in the state.
I'm just wondering how playing dealing can sustain the rest of the season with only 15 kids on the roster.
Ian, they've done it now for 8 years, 9 years, you know. They've had Keldrick Carper. I don't know if you remember that name. He was a really good player. He ended up playing at Texas A&M. He went from playing dealing to A&M about 7 or 8 years ago, I guess. And they were a quarterfinal team despite only having like 22 kids.
Wow.
Since then, it's been a struggle. You know, 19 kids, 21 kids, 24 kids, 18, 16, 14. And these last 4 or 5 years, especially when the losing kind of started overpassing the winning, it's been tough to get more than 15, 16 kids out there. There's some, you know, some lumber industry that may be coming out to plane dealing very soon. And a lot of us are kind of hoping that that brings, you know, 75 to 100 jobs. And if that's 75 to 100 jobs, that may be 40 to 50 families. And of those 40 to 50 families, are there 10 families that have some high school age boys or junior high age boys that are going to go to plane dealing and maybe get their numbers up? Because that's the only way this is going to end, is if they start having, I mean, imagine, Ian, you're trying to practice football with 15 kids. They've never been able to run 11 on 11. They aren't even able to run 7 on 7 for the most part. It's almost like, okay, we're going to do the left side of the line against the right side of the defensive line here, you know, 3-on-3 type stuff. It's really hard for these guys. But the thing is, these coaches are still out there coaching. The kids are still out there playing. And it's one of the things that we just keep applauding them, that they could easily just say, coach, it isn't worth it. We're getting our brains bashed in. I'm out of here. But they're sticking with it. And so more power to them. You know, we hope for good things to happen, but unfortunately the grim real world of football is not so forgiving, and it won't be very forgiving Friday night either.
But that competitive nature defines the heart of a champion. So for plain dealing, good for them for sticking with it and going through all of this despite having such short numbers. Tim Fletcher with KWKH, yep. 1130 The Tiger joining us. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
You're the man, buddy. Thank you, Ian.
And we continue by going to Southwest Louisiana, to the Lake Charles area. Chasten Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joins us. District 3-5A play begins this week. Chasten, tell me why Barb has a chance at winning this district title for the first time in almost a decade.
Yeah, look, I've been telling you for a couple of weeks. Barb's a tricky team. Look, they can put up a lot of points. I mean, they have been in each and every game they've played in. They've scored 118 points on the year, but on the other side of it, when you're giving up 112, I mean, you're not giving yourself much leeway there. They played in three very close games that have all came down to the final possession of the football game. Look, they've got a good shot. The game I'm looking forward to is Week 10, them and Sam Houston. My goodness, that game, both of them could score 70 points in that football game. Look, 3-5A, it's gonna be tough as always this year.
This week, Barb plays Karen Crow, and Karen Crow struggled a little bit this year against tough competition before getting in the district. What does Barb have to do to beat them?
Again, they got to find a way to improve defensively. We were just talking about it. Look, they've allowed 52 points, 28 points, and 32 points in their respective three games. They've got to find a way to get things going defensively, because it seems like offensively they're going to be able to get it done with just about anybody. I mean, they've got two guys who've rushed for, you know, over 200 yards. You know, receiving wise, it's the same way with Eric Jones, Luke Leger. I mean, they've got athletes all over the field. It's just, you know, defensively, can they come up with the big stops?
Meanwhile, Sam Houston takes on Sulphur in a Calcasieu Parish matchup in the district. We know Sam Houston has that offensive firepower. Sulphur, though, they've been rebuilding the last few years, especially after the Hurricanes hit. Is Sulphur back to what they used to be, or are they still in that rebuilding phase?
I think they're still in the rebuilding phase. If you look at who they played, it's St. Louis, Northside, who I think Northside's pretty good. Yeah, then Vanderbilt Catholic, who always has a pretty rich tradition of being pretty darn good. Look, they're another team who played in some pretty decently close games. Look, they're getting it done on the ground. Tyler Jobert, you know, 48 carries, 300 yards. You know, they've also got Luke Clark, who's rushed for nearly 200 yards. J.D. LaFleur's got nearly 200 yards receiving. They've got the weapons on the offensive side of the football. This is going to be a tough test for them, and we'll kind of see what Sulphur really is about coming up this week as they take out Sam Houston.
Speaking of tests, Iowa taking on Wassmann this week. Wassmann making the trip from North Louisiana to play at Iowa. This is going to be maybe one of the better matchups in your area this week.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Look, there was a couple of games we kind of pondered around doing, and this was another one. Iowa-Wassmann, even though it's not necessarily a local matchup, it is a matchup that could feature two offenses who can score and two, you know, teams who have had really rich traditions of winning, at least over the last 10, 15 years. Look, I feel like all this is the fourth team we've talked about, and all four I've talked about needing to find a way to get stops defensively, and Iowa is another one of those teams in their three respective games. They've given up 22 points to Jennings, 45 points, you know, to a team out of Texas, and then a 35 points to Parkview Baptist. That's another team that's got to figure out the things defensively, and knowing Coach Johns, they certainly will get things done. But offensively, they are as good as advertised.
Another local matchup, an all-Lake Charles matchup between St. Louis Catholic and Washington Marion this week. What can we expect from that one?
Yeah, look, Washington Marion, they've got a couple of athletes as well with Godfrey and Tillman, Savoy. Farmer's been getting it done through the air, 342 yards through the air. Receiving, they've got a couple of athletes. Again, Tillman, 5 receptions, 123 yards. Savoy, Godfrey, again, names I've mentioned, who can hit you from, you know, in the backfield and also in the receiving core as well, get you downfield. St. Louis is going to be tricky. You know, we talk about defense. They're another team who not a lot of offense and not a lot of defense there either. They've only scored 20 points on the year, given up nearly 100. They're kind of in a tough stretch. We've talked about it a couple times this year. You know, losing Brock Mathurin, losing 20-some-odd seniors last year. We knew it was going to be a rough test for St. Louis Catholic.
Welsh gets South Beauregard, both of these two teams in a final tune-up before their district schedules begin in the next week or so. Welsh, we know how good they are. We haven't talked much about South Beau yet this year. What do they have?
Look, South Beauregard, I think, has been one of the biggest surprises of the year. Look, they have got guys all over the field. That offense is a ton of fun. Clayton Folks in the backfield, also Christian Wold, a couple of guys who play basketball, play baseball. Christian Wold can get it done on the ground, get it done through the air. And also you've got guys like Noah Fontenot, Jacob Marcantel, who can get out and catch the football. Look, Welsh is a team right now that's really kind of stumbling. They're 1-2 on the year. I mean, I was one of the ones that had huge expectations for them. I had them last week versus Jennings. Jennings, obviously, a very tall test with emotions running high in that game and so on. But this is going to be a huge test for just to kind of see who really Welsh is, because you don't want to say it's a must-win early on, but my goodness, it's pretty darn close, especially already off to that 1-2 start with that gauntlet of a district looming soon.
Kinder gets Eunice this week. Oakdale gets Lake Arthur. What are some of the other games this week that you'll be looking at?
The game we're going to be doing this week is Westlake taking on DeRidder. This is a matchup that is just going to be a ton of fun. You know, DeRidder is going to hit you with that kind of split back veer. They've got a couple of running backs who have rushed for, you know, nearly 300 and over 400 yards, with Connor Rushford nearly 500 yards. Reed Williams, the 1,200-yard back from last year, just get back-to-back 100-yard games. They're not going to throw it very much, but when they do, it is effective. You got Uriah Wade, who's got 6 receptions for over 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, DeRidder can get it done, and they're always going to be pretty darn good defensively. Westlake is a team who last year struggled with all the young kids. This year, they're not struggling. They've scored 150 points in the year, only giving up 34. Now, I will say this will be the toughest test that Westlake has had up to this point, you know, facing Rose Pine, LaGrange, and Washington Marion, playing a couple of lower-end 4A teams. But now you're going to get a pretty good DeRidder team. You know, Coach John Richardson gang will really find out who they are. Look, Westlake can hit you from a lot of different ways. Ryan Allen out of the backfield, he is very quick. You've got Brody Anderson, the quarterback. I mean, he's thrown for almost 500 yards this year. And then I think probably the most electric player in all of Southwest Louisiana, Kevin Rito, who, my goodness, can go to the house at any point, offensively, defensively, or on special teams.
Chasen Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joining us, giving us a preview of what's going on in the Lake Charles area, Southwest Louisiana. Chasen, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Thank you, brother.
And we'll be back to wrap up the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this. This is the Pelican State Prep Football Preview, the Week 4 edition. I'm Ian Ozan. This Friday night, the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup will be live from Joe Yenny Stadium in Metairie. The Rummel Raiders hosting the John Curtis Patriots. Coach Lou Vowden, Alan Waddell, and I will be live from there from 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock. That's Friday night on the Big 870 WWL, 105.3 FM, and from coast to coast and around the world at WWL.com and the Odyssey app. Next week, Week 5 of the Louisiana High School football season. Hard to believe we're already coming up to the halfway mark of the season. The playoff picture will become clearer. We'll start to get our first look at the official power rankings, and we'll get ready for district play as the entire state will be getting into district play next week. And we'll have previews of all of those big games from across Louisiana right here on the Week 5 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Special thanks to all of our correspondents who help us preview these games. Troy LaBeouf in the River Parishes, Tim Fletcher in the Shreveport area, Robin Fambro in Baton Rouge, Lamar Gafford in Alexandria, Kevin Foote in the Acadiana area, Gene Ponte in Monroe, Chasten Tavares in Lake Charles, and Coach Lou Vowden in the New Orleans area. And special thanks to the head coach of the San Augustine Purple Knights, Robert Valdez, for spending some time with us this week. We'll do it again next week for the Week 5 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right here at WWL.com. Until next week, I'm Ian Ozan. Thanks for listening to the Pelican State Prep Football Preview.